Welcome to today's edition of the Blazing Gray Show with your trio of hosts, Jason Graves, Rob McIntyre, and Mike Janung. Blazing Grace covers blazing issues with grace-filled answers. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Here are your hosts, Jason, Rob, and Mike.
Is it possible to be freed from the pornography industry? Well, we're going to find out with a couple special guests today. One that you know very well, right. Our favorite, our very own, Shelly Lubin. Welcome to the show, Shelly.
Hi, thanks for having me back again.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, we're here with Rob McIntyre and Mike Janung in the studio. Hello, fellas.
Hey, what's up? Hey. Hi, Shelly.
Well, we're excited to be coming back with one of our favorites and a favorite of hers. You've got a new hero these days, Shelly. Want to introduce us to your friend?
Yes, I'm very excited to introduce Carly Levine, who God pulled out of the porn industry and is doing an awesome work in her life. Welcome to the show, Carly.
Hi, thank you.
Welcome, Carly, indeed. Well, hey, it's a blessing to have you, and we're excited to hear your story and ask you a few questions about that. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about where you came from and how you got into the porn industry, and then a little bit about how you got out.
Okay. Well, I was raised in a Christian home my whole life. I remember going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know, just normal childhood. I was. A lot of people have the misconception that most people who were in the porn industry were maybe sexually abused as kids. I was never, you know. I just had a completely normal upbringing, and I went to a Christian school all the way up through my senior year. And I don't know, I started getting away from God and started partying a little, and as, you know, it's an old story, one thing leads to another, and I ended up being a dancer or a stripper, and suddenly I moved out to California and I became a porn star. And at first it's all exciting and glamorous, and, you know, it was very misleading. And you know, a year and a half later, I started in with, like, the really hardcore drugs. And I was strung out on heroin for 2 years. You know, heroin, meth, pretty much whatever I could get my hands on, I did, you know.
How much did you spend a week, Carly, on drugs?
About $2,000 a week.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, I was spending a lot to cover up a lot of misery. And, you know, I just felt so lost and just so stuck for such a long time. A lot of it was my pride. I didn't want to admit that I had messed up my life that bad or that I was wrong. You know, and it took a lot for me to finally be able to go home and say, hi, yes, I messed up my life. Please tell me you love me still, you know. But I'm lucky enough that I've got great parents, and they love me to death. And, you know, they might not like the things that I've done, but they still accept me and love me, you know. But,
And how's your relationship with the Lord?
Oh, I love the Lord now. He never forsake me, ever. I used to think that if I ever went back into church, lightning would strike and I'd be dead, you know. And now, just, you know, I have faith in God. If he can bring me through that, then I can get through anything. So, amen.
So Carly, what was the catalyst that got you looking towards the Lord while you're in the industry?
You know, I never forgot God, ever. You know, I even had my strange little church, as I called it, where I would listen to music or something, and I would, you know, I would pray. I never, ever forgot God. Sometimes I'd wish he'd leave me alone. I wished I could forget about him back then. But, you know, he never would let me forget about him, and I thank him for that, because that's the only reason I'm still alive today. The only reason that I even want to be alive today is for him, you know.
Isn't that the amazing part of his grace, where even when they're in the mud pile, he's right there with us?
Yeah, that's what I love about God. You know,
Do you remember times, like for me, the Lord used to actually come with me on the porn set? So a lot of people don't understand that. Yes, he does follow us everywhere, trying to pull us back to the Father. Did you experience that?
Yes. Like I said, sometimes I just wanted to tell him to go away, leave me alone for 5 minutes. He didn't belong there,
right,
you know?
Right.
And just little things would, sure, maybe I could go 2 or 3 days without really remembering that, you know, I used to be a good girl and, you know, about him and how much he loves me because I was so miserable. And then something would happen, or even just the slightest little thing of hearing something, a flash on the TV or just something
right.
on the radio, and it would bring my mind back to it, you know.
Yeah.
It always seemed to happen when I was the most miserable or the most hopeless. Or
Hey, Carly, you had mentioned before that you felt that religion plays a part in being a catalyst for girls to go into the porn industry.
Yes. You'd be amazed at how many preachers' daughters there
what?
Are in porn. I don't, you know, I can't say that I know the direct correlation, but it's amazing to me. You know, I told Shelley a while back that I was thinking of writing a book about it.
Interesting.
Just because there's that many girls who were either preachers' daughters or grew up in the church or, you know, have a Christian background.
Do you feel it's because it was strict upbringing?
I think so. I think it's not just strict, but way overprotected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a different sense, and I might as well just throw it out there. I think it's because every daughter or every woman wants to be loved by the man who they're entrusted to. And if the father, you know, of those daughters is not loving her the way she should be loved, then it makes sense to me why she would go for another type of love.
Yeah.
I think that's true for probably a lot of the girls. For me, I was daddy's little girl, you know, that was never my problem. For me, I think I got in because I never felt accepted by society, and I was the pretty girl, I was the popular girl, I was, you know,
right.
I was the one that everybody wanted to be around, and that was great for me.
Right, right.
Did you feel accepted by the church?
Not even in the, you know, not even really, I never really felt accepted by the church. I had a few friends and that,
but it's
you know,
because
I felt close to, but maybe it was the church that I grew up in. It's not
Carly, do they really even know you? I mean, because that's when I was kind of one of those people who had the aesthetics all up, right, correct, and everybody thought I was a great guy, but deep down inside, nobody knew me, and I was afraid to be known. What you're kind of painting a world that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Did people really know your heart? Did people really know you?
Not really. I don't think, you know, everybody puts on it, or to me, I'm not really a church person. I'm a God person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Church to me, everybody puts on this little Brady Bunch just picture and go to church and raise your hands. That's what good Christian kids do. And you know, it's just, I don't know. Church is not my bag at all.
So what did you need, though? Do you know what you needed?
Even now, still, in my perfect Christian world, everybody would, you know, everybody
like
would love each other and support each other no matter what, and that's never, at least I've never experienced that in a church environment, ever.
Wow.
So the unconditional love.
Exactly, a Christ-like love. And
unconditional acceptence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Tell us what the process of getting out of the industry has been like for you, both the beginning of that process, what it took, and maybe some of the roadblocks or obstacles, and what that's looking like these days.
For me, a lot of the reason I never wanted to give the industry up was pride. You know, I didn't want to admit I was wrong, and I didn't want to admit that I had failed. I didn't want to admit that I couldn't do it with, you know, I never wanted to accept anyone's help, and I'm still kind of like that today. I don't like to accept a lot of help. I'm very independent, and that was just, you know, I couldn't accept that. You know, it would never happen as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know anything about that, but go ahead.
They'll accept help.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the longer I stayed away, the more it was on my heart to come back home.
Yeah.
And
tell them how you got out and then where you went.
I left the porn industry and I went to the Bunny Ranch.
Oh.
That's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And which was probably a more horrible experience than porn.
I'm not familiar with that. Maybe am I supposed to be?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Oh, no.
Prostitution house.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
It's not an Easter party.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, so, some of us don't know.
The bottom line is it's a place that maybe pretends to be a safe place for people who are vulnerable, but it's
exactly.
not really a safe place at all. And
exactly.
So then you somehow got away from that. And
well, that was I actually got sober off of heroin there.
Mm.
I escaped the porn business and I could kind of hide out there for a while. Still not give up that pride thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so some good came out of me being there, but I also took a lot of hard knocks that softened up my heart a lot and made me be able to come home after
right.
that.
Right.
Okay, Carly, I'm playing therapist here now. The root that was part of your issue growing up in your family as a teenager is the same thing that you're dealing with in your recovery, is this pride.
Mm.
And the pride is the very thing that has limited you to let people in. And so my question to you again, and you may not be able to answer it, but what are you afraid of? You know, what is really, what were you afraid of letting people in, or is it just an arrogance? But typically it's not, you
know. Rejection maybe?
Mm.
I think it started out as rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been hurt so much that I don't like to let too many people close.
Okay.
She's
yeah.
broken.
That makes sense.
Now.
That makes sense. And see that the key is though is to allow the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to begin to heal those rejections, because those rejections they are kind of like memory based behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And so until you get those healed, you'll constantly feel that way about
right.
rejecting to people getting close to you. And
right.
and you know, the greatest relationship that we'll have close to us is our relationship with God, but then with your spouse.
Mm.
And I've dealt with the same issue, so that's why I'm kind of ganging up on you.
Yeah,
no, it's fine. Please gang up on me.
Yeah, so
that's all advice.
Actually, she says she's full of pride, but I see a very humble person.
Well, yeah, I mean, God is exchanging that. He's in the process of exchanging that
right.
pride
right.
for humility, isn't he? And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's also exchanging the fear that I'm hearing in your story for something else. I mean, it takes a lot of courage for you to come on today. And yeah, you know, I'm just really proud of you, and I'm excited for you. And you know, I just also want to say that on behalf of all of the people out there, myself included, who have viewed pornography, purchased pornography, used other people's pornography in any way, shape, or form, we are part of those who have indirectly victimized you, Carly. And while I know you made your choices and you know you're responsible for your part, that's our part.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take responsibility for myself and symbolically for the rest of our, you know, our listeners, that we all are responsible for harming you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, bottom line, I just hope you can forgive us.
I do.
Amen.
I do. I hope you guys can forgive me for my part in it.
Well, we
amen.
Do.
We do. Especially how you're just making such a beautiful amends here. I mean, God has given you a vision for how to make things right, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm thankful for your willingness to partner with him to be on our show and to reach out to people. And one of the things I'd like to hear is speak to us a little bit, and Shelley, you can comment on this too, but as people who have been or who are involved in pornography,
mm-hmm.
what do you want to say to those people? What do you want to say to those people on the other side of the camera that you know have been there all along, just as God has been there all along, just as the other actors have been there all along, the directors?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say to those people on the other side of the camera?
Just that even, you know, pornography, it hurts people who are viewing it just as much as it hurts the actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it destroys families, it destroys relationships, it destroys, more importantly, it destroys your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, seriously, I can't stress this enough, just as much as it hurt me, mm-hmm. it eventually, it may not happen as fast, but mm-hmm. eventually it'll hurt the viewer just as much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What were you doing in porn and sexual sin? How was that affecting you emotionally?
Well, I'm kind of in this stage of recovery right now where I don't really think about it too much. I'm very callous to it.
Mm-hmm.
To where it, emotionally, the actual sex acts that I did haven't gotten to me yet. You know, I'm still very callous to it.
She's in early recovery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's called post-traumatic stress disorder, I told her.
Right. Yeah, well, it is. Right. And, you know, I know that, Carly, just from my own experience, I was unfaithful numerous times to my wife, and it took me a long time to just have an emotional impact. And part of that is we're so protected emotionally. You know, I call it the abysmal abyss of emotional ambiguity. Do you like that?
Yeah.
It's a title of a new book, but no, I'm joking. but it is, because we can't seem to penetrate it. But when we penetrate it, watch out. You know, you're going to need Shelley alongside you, because it opens up and then you're going, I'm undone. But that's exactly where God wants you.
Right.
It is. And I've been through it, and I told her I'll be there for her all the way if she wants.
Amen. And tell us about that process, Shelley. How have you walked with her, and how can people who have a heart for rescuing people out of this industry, or just even coming alongside of someone trapped in pornography, how can they help, and how have you done that?
Well, how I help her is I can relate to her so she feels safe with me.
Mm-hmm.
At least I feel. Is that correct, Carly?
It is very correct.
I speak her language.
Sharing your own story, relating experiences,
and
just being open and real.
And that acceptance and the unconditional love she wants from the church, she has for me.
Right.
And so because of that, there's already a trust being established, and I would never, ever do anything to break it. Like that's very important, because we don't trust anyone for years.
Right.
And so it takes time. But actually, I feel like Carly actually is doing a little better than I was at first. So I could have never come out like this and speak of it. And so there's an anointing on her life that I recognize right away, that God has given her courage, because, see, the time is now that people need help.
Right.
But at the same time, we're going to protect her. I'm going to walk her through it. Like we were talking the other night, and she realizes she's kind of going through some things that are a little bit different for her. So she'll call me, and I'll explain to her, okay, this is what you're going through now, and this is what you'll be in next week. And I can kind of like tell her what's going to happen next, which is nice, because I didn't have that.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that stands out to me, Carly, is your parents and the way you speak of them. And I'm so happy for you that you have a loving set of parents.
Amen.
Yes.
And she does.
I'm extremely grateful for.
Because I didn't talk to them. I couldn't. I just got back with my parents a couple of years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've never been able, just the past year we've been able to talk about this. So I did that whole thing without anyone but the Lord. But that also taught me, also really developed and cultivated a very close relationship with Him.
Right.
So whatever we go through now isn't just, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm curious, you know, a couple years ago, just switching gears a little bit here, I saw, actually maybe it was within the last year, an interview by Diane Sawyer with a young lady who was involved in pornography, and it showed, you know, what she was doing and
that you, Carly?
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, you could see, you know, she had tears in her eyes and talking about how much she really hated it, but yet she just really needed it and loved it. And the whole time, though, I'm just sitting there thinking, come on, Diane, say something to help this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Say something. And I'm just wondering, if you're Diane Sawyer, what do you want to say to somebody who's trapped in this industry?
Basically, I'd like to give them hope that there is a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And
you think they all want to get out?
I don't think a lot of them are ready to.
Because the main reason they're in, at least I feel, let me know if I'm right, is because they found the acceptance and unconditional love there.
Exactly.
You're right.
And so it's a twisted, perverted family. And so I know what I would say to them, but what do you think you'd say to, like, think of someone that's in the industry right now, you know they want to get out. What would you tell them?
First, that I love them, no matter what they do, and that I'll help them in any way. And I would explain to them that there's more to life than that. And you have to understand, Shelley, I told you about this. I used to have Thanksgiving at my house for all the wayward porn stars that had nowhere else to go.
Wow.
You know,
what a heart.
Those of us that didn't have family to go home to or couldn't go home to our families, they all came to my house.
Tell me what you guys said you were thankful for. Because I go, well, what did you guys say you were thankful for?
We were thankful we got to work the next week.
And that you didn't get arrested for.
Exactly.
For
heroin. We're thankful we were still alive.
Yeah. But see, you know, you guys are, Shelly, you're right. You hit the nail right on the head. There is a form of acceptance and mm-hmm. understanding, but it really is so far from the love of God and is so far from the total healing.
Lie.
It is
it's
a lie.
Satan's family is what it is.
It is. It mm-hmm. is. And he will use you and he will kill you and you will be done. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is God's about restoring and God wants to do that. And God wants to have you guys compare that.
So, yep. So here, let me ask you this. So with just a couple minutes here, winding down a bit, we laugh about that scene, and I'm glad that you're at a place where you can laugh about that scene here now, mm-hmm. but about the things that they were thankful for. But really, how sad. Really,
sad.
How sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so tell us now, with just a minute here, what are you thankful for these days?
These days, I am thankful for Shelly.
Amen.
Oh. I'm thankful for God's faith. I'm thankful for my new fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for my family who never gave up on me.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm thankful for guys like you that'll help me or give me a way to share my testimony and hopefully
right.
help other people who are bound by porn, whether it's by viewing it or being in the industry.
Exciting. Well, I'm glad you traded those things to be mm-hmm. thankful for because you know what? You traded up. So praise God.
Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us, Carly.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah,
anytime.
Absolutely. And Shelly, always a pleasure.
Yep, I loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, in fact, folks, tune in next week when Shelly actually interviews us. And boy, that's going to be exciting. So listen, we're glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in today. If you want more information and related Blazing Grace shows on the subject, we did a show with Shelly and her friend Annie Lobert back in February on the 4th and the 11th. You can go to blazinggrace.org/radio.htm and get all of the archived copies. We also did last October 29th an interview with Shelly about prostitution. And on August 20th and 27th, we did parts 1 and 2 of Shelly's story. So if you want more information or if you'd like to contact either Carly or Shelly, you can go to shellylubin.com. That's shellylubin.com. Of course, Blazing Grace Radio is listener supported. Would you like to help us out? We're trying to get into different countries now, into Ireland. Maybe you'd like to be a part of that campaign. Or maybe you'd like to just help us keep us on the air here in the States and on the internet. We're, of course, on oneplace.com. These things take money. If you enjoy the show, would you partner with us? We'd sure appreciate it. We love you. Tune in next week. We'll be back in the saddle with Shelly and Rob and Mike and the usual. So, hey, God bless you and keep the faith. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Blazing Grace Show. We trust today's broadcast helps bring you closer to God and to what God desires for your life. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported mission intended to help listeners around the world. Your support is vital in keeping that mission alive. We ask you to prayerfully consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Blazing Grace. It would be gratefully appreciated. You can send your monetary gift to Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80962-2521. That's Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80962-2521. Want to learn more about Blazing Grace? Find us on the internet at www.blazinggrace.org. That's www.blazinggrace.org/radio.htm. On that page, you'll find a downloadable copy of this show, or you can visit oneplace.com under Ministries. Look for Blazing Grace Radio. If you want help resolving a sexual addiction, you can reach Rob McIntyre and Jason Graves toll-free by dialing 877-590-SOUL. That's 877-590-7685. Desire for a specific subject to be covered on Blazing Grace? Tell Mike Janung what you want covered. You can email Mike at mike@blazinggrace.org. We look forward to sharing more blazing issues and grace-filled answers next time. Thanks once again for listening, and may God shine His grace upon you. I am free.